God bless you tonight. You can grab a seat. Wonderful to have you here. And you'll see behind me there's three likely lads sitting on the couch. And that's because tonight we're going to do a bit of tag preaching. That's exciting, isn't it? Something we did years ago in church. We haven't done for a while, but I'm going to kick us off. And then these guys are going to come and share a little bit with you. But when I got back from Christmas holidays this year, part of my prayers or part of what I'd asked God was, God, what are we believing for this year? And there were three words that God gave me: bigness, unity, and more. And when I began to ponder those things, bigness, I just realized it's just a word about who we are as a church. We've always been big on the inside. We have a capacity to be a great blessing and always have been to our community, our city, our nation, and the nations. I thought, that's cool, Lord. Well, it's not something new. It's who we are. Same as unity. I really felt in my heart God say, unity is unite around the things that matter. Keep the main thing the main thing. And then there was this idea of more, that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask, think, or imagine according to his work within us. And I was pretty excited by that. And this year, our Thanksgiving faith offering, we've called it Reach. And as I ponder that, I think in order for us to continue to live big lives, to live in unity around the main things, and to live a life of more, we're going to have to reach for that. Now, when I say that, it sounds like striving. Like we've got to work hard at it. We've got to really reach for it. And there's a sense of works to it. But that's not how it works. And it's not the heart of this year's vision of Reach. I want to share with you a scripture. If you were here this morning, you've already heard it. And you'll know it well. Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. We know this, don't we? As I've said, Jesus is referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 because the Pharisees are trying to test Jesus and whether he knows the law. And Jesus says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything you have. But then Jesus says, the second is like it. Verse 39, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. And I love this about Jesus because he says, yes, it's all about loving God, but then it's about loving others. And this is where the concept of our Thanksgiving faith offering this year has come from, this idea of reach. It's reach up. That's the first reach. It's reach up in our relationship with God. Then it's reach in. What has God placed in our hearts or in our lives? What giftings and talents and abilities has God given us? And then we reach out. And the reach up is important because if I'm going to achieve something for God, I don't know, how many here want to achieve something for the kingdom of God in their lifetime? I know we do. It's the desire of our heart. But if we're going to achieve something of eternal value or kingdom value, then it's going to come out of my relationship with God. It's going to come out of the place where I know the heart of God. And when I step out, I know God's heart. I know that God loves the world. I know that God has a desire to reach everybody with the love of Christ. That's God's heart. And so out of my relationship with God is my first reach. It's my primary reach. I've got to get it right, and I've got to lean into my relationship with God. The second reach is the inward one, which is where I recognize that God has given me talents. He's given me abilities. He's given me dreams. He's given me desires. And in every one of your hearts, I guarantee, whether you've discovered this or not, God's placed passions within you. God's placed desires and dreams to do something for his kingdom, to reach out beyond yourself because you've been wired to be a blessing to others. That's how God's wired you. So he's put stuff on the inside of you. But you've also got to recognize what God's blessed you with, that we actually live really, really blessed lives. So when my primary is relationship with God, reach up, I then reach in and see what I have. And then I set about reaching out. And I understand that my life was blessed in order that I would be a great blessing. And so that's the heart of the Reach vision for this year, that as you read through this brochure this year, hopefully you received one in the mail. If you didn't, you can pick one up out at reception or out in the foyer at one of our stands. But if you didn't receive one in the mail, it means you're not in our database. And you should be, so we can send you the stuff and you get it in the mail. But my heart is that as you read this and as you pray, you're not just excited about what's on the card, but you're going to spend time with God because that's your primary. God, what would you have me do this year when it comes to the giving? But secondly, as you read through it, you're going to see the heart of God in the flyer. You're going to look at the focus and the vision and the ministries we want to give to, and you're going to say, God, I can see your heart for your planet within the flyer. And hopefully, that'll get you excited. Now I get to tag the next person, which I think is Jono, and he's going to come and share for a bit.
Awesome. Thanks, Carl. So tonight what we're going to do, there is three of us, we're going to go through the various aspects that there are to reach. There was reach local, which we've divided into two aspects, which is Levita, the center, and also our city. And then there's also reach global. And so as part of reaching local as this facility, we have decided to place $150,000 towards upgrading this center and this facility. And so for those of you who do not know, my name is Jono. I'm one of the assistant pastors here on team. And part of my role in that is to look after this facility and its management. So I look after all the bookings and the marketing and the clients that come through here. So I get the really privileged position of seeing this place be used throughout the week outside of a Sunday. I get to see Levita bless people outside of us as a church. And it's the most amazing thing when a client comes here for the very first time. Quite often they've never even heard of us, or they've only heard of us through a friend, and they come down the driveway and they're just the most amazing thing to see the look on their face when they walk through these auditorium doors. You know, they come through and it's dark and we lift the lights up and just the, wow, this place is amazing. And then it just keeps getting better as we show them through the West Wing and the upstairs room and the youth center. They're just so awestruck by how incredible this place is. Even our car park amazes them. The fact that we have a facility this size with 200 on-site car parks in the middle of the suburbs of Christchurch is incredible. But not everyone is going to get that same perspective that I'm privileged to do. So when we're talking about upgrading Levita, I thought it would be cool to actually look at some of the stats over this last year. And so I started going back through my records for the year of 2016 and pulling up some reports. And I wanted to share a few of my findings with you tonight because I think they're really cool. So in 2016, Levita hosted around 50 fully commercial events. 50 events that had generally nothing to do with us as a church. These were commercial events that have come in through the website or through whatever. Now, at first, you go, oh, 50, that doesn't sound like a lot. But then when you consider that there's only 52 weeks in a year, then that number starts to sound a little bit more significant. But in fact, if you've come to our Christmas production, you'll know how much work that takes to go into it. And so we actually stopped taking bookings from about the middle of December onwards and to allow us to be free to do that stuff. And then we don't open again until February. And we also don't open up during the school holidays because we leave that free for any maintenance issues that we may have. So when you add those all up together, that's around 12 weeks in the year that we're not actually operating, which brings it into 40 weeks we were open for business. So 50 events over 40 weeks, for those of you wanting to do the math, that's just under 1.5 events every single week. 1.5 events that have nothing to do with us as a church. This is outside of a Sunday. Every week we're hosting clients and blessing people beyond ourselves, reaching people outside of ourselves. And I think that's pretty amazing. But it gets even better. So I started pulling up the figures of how many people were coming to these events and the average attendance, because we host events of all different sizes. We host events where we fill up this auditorium right down to events with only 10 people in it. And so when you average it all out, it ends up being around about 250 to 260 people per event. And so for those of you trying to do the math in your head, over those 50 events, that's 12,500 people in a year. 12,500 people who we've blessed, who are outside of ourselves, which is exactly what this facility was built for. 12,500 people potentially being blessed by Levita. Now, however, did I say 12,500 people? Yeah. I heard the laugh. I was like, what was that? 12,500 people. 12,500 people every year. But obviously, we're not just running this as a commercial facility. This is also Levita Community Center. We operate as a church. We run community programs. Obviously, we have Sunday services here, which we're in. We run after-school program 5 days a week. We host Levita Youth here on Tuesday nights. We have the Let's Chat English program, which ladies come and learn English. We have Connect and Craft Group. We hold PIV nights. We hold prayer meetings, music rehearsals, all sorts of things. And so when you add up all of the things that are being run through facility, including those commercial ones I mentioned before, In 2016, we ran just around 500 events through this facility. 500 events, or in other words, 1.5 events every single day. 1.5 events every single day. Every day there is something different happening here. There are different people coming through our doors using this facility. But how many people is that? How many people is that? Well, we know on a Sunday morning, we get around about 400 people in the service, and then we have about 100 or so kids out at Life Kids. And then here tonight, we get around another 100 people. So that's 600 people just in 1 week. Add that into the 250 people we're reaching through these external events. But then you start counting in the kids that we have at after school program and the ladies who are coming to learn English and all the other things that are going on. Add it all up, and there are around 1,000 people coming through this facility every week. 1,000 people continuing to be blessed. 1,000 people potentially having their lives changed. 1,000 people potentially taking a step closer to Jesus every week. And so when we start to ask the question, why bother? Why bother upgrading La Vida? Why bother investing into what is an already amazing facility? It's because we know that we want this place to continue to be a blessing to our community. We know that God has more for us. We don't want to settle for just that 1,000 people, but we know God has another 1,000 people that we can bless in this city. And God doesn't want us to settle for that. And not to mention that 1,000 people, that's 2,000 pair of feet walking across the floor, it's going to cause some maintenance issues, and so we have to keep the upkeep. But we do it because we want to ensure that every time someone uses this facility, every time someone interacts with this, that it continues to bless them and empower them. So that is pretty cool. So now I'm going to hand over to Jeremiah, who's going to talk about reaching into the city.
Awesome. So the second part of our reach, we divided, as Jono said, to local, which is La Vida here, but then also the wider city. And as I was reading this verse that I've been reading over the last few months, I found in this great book called Jeremiah, chapter 29. I know you can never get away with it. You can like, it just sounds weird saying it's in this book. Anyway, Jeremiah 29, 6 and 7, it says, increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And this is a letter that Jeremiah was writing to the people who had been exiled to Babylon from their home in Jerusalem. And what he was saying there is, increase in number there, do not decrease. I love that. He's going, increase, continue to do more, and continue to get bigger, continue to do everything that I've asked you to do. Don't you dare get smaller. But it's in this place that I've carried you into exile. Probably a place where you're not overly comfortable, or a place that you really enjoy being. But he's saying, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, continue to do all the more that I've encouraged you to do. Continue to seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you. And as I read that and think about, well, what we're giving into in our reach and reaching our city and the different aspects that it comes to, I go, I want to be someone who carries that peace and prosperity into every area of my city, into every area of my influence. I did this as I was a teacher. A couple of years ago, I taught in two local schools, and I carried that, the heart of the church, wherever I was. It wasn't my most favorite place to be, but I still invested in that place. I still knew that it was an important place for me to be. I still knew that there were kids that I was able to invest in. I knew that there were teachers that I was able to be friendly with and show the love of Jesus to. No matter where I was or what I was doing, I continued to invest in their lives. But I also invested in my local church. I still had time, so I came to prayer meetings. I still had time, so I turned up to church every Sunday. I still had time, so I gave up serving in different areas. Also, that other people could know what love Jesus has for them. In every area that I am, I want to increase there, not decrease. And so when I look at what are the things we're giving to, we're giving to strength, which is with Richard Black, and he helps counsel people to a place of wholeness and healing. People go to counseling for a whole range of reasons, and what an amazing thing he's doing with us within our city. but also raising up a generation of counselors who can also bring people back into a place of healing and wholeness, something we would love to invest in as a church. To Red Frogs, to 24/7, going out into our universities, into our schools, investing in young people. What a cool thing to partner with. In every area, in every place, whether it's uncomfortable or not, Red Frogs goes into places where it is not always comfortable. Often around the areas of intoxication and halls of residence with some wild university students. Man, they're fun. But I always want to increase my presence there. I always want to increase what God's doing there, never decrease. To Christmas Box, every Christmas, we as a church, we partner together and we come and we create thousands of boxes to go and bless our city and our community with food. And as I talk to parents just at Rickett and Primary School who are given them, every year they are blown away by the generosity of people because they are packed with some delicious food. Food that they can't always afford. Food that over Christmas they feel like, oh, I'm just failing a little bit. But then they see the generosity of people that we were willing to invest and they go, man, someone's even packed it so it looks beautiful. They recognize the time spent and I go, in every area over Christmas or when it's not Christmas, I want to increase my influence, not decrease it. Community fund days and initiatives is another thing we're giving to and part of our reaching out to others. Our community fund day, what an amazing time to bring everyone in our community together, just simply to have fun and grow in relationship. So when I look at all this, I go, are these just great things that we can do? Are these just something that I just enjoy? No, because when I look at it, I see God's heart. See, all of those things that I just mentioned, strength to strength, 24/7, Red Frogs, community outreach initiatives, and Christmas Box, are all outward focus, are all influencing our city, are all loving on people, showing that they have a value and a worth. Because we always want people to know that God is completely for them, that He has a plan and purpose for them. And so in every area, no matter where you are, no matter what we're doing, but within our city, we want to increase our influence and not decrease. Thanks.
Jesus, be with me as I speak. Lord, let us have open hearts to you and open minds as we hear what you want to say tonight, and let it be your words, not mine, that are spoken. Amen. Amen. I'm just gonna, if that's okay. Is it cool if I just be honest for a second? Oh, that's cool. That's what I thought. Yeah. I get really jaded towards offering talks. 5 years ago, I came here. Everyone was really nice to me. It was awesome. The staff, they were just so good, and you just get a bit suspicious. And turns out they've experienced the love of this guy called Jesus. And turns out that they love you so very much and they love him. And all they really want to do is for you to experience what they have experienced. But I'm still jaded towards offering talks. So I like to know when I am giving exactly where I am giving. So for a wee bit, I'm going to do that. But I also want to cover why we should do it. Is that cool? Awesome. So for our global missions, we're giving to four different places. The first is to Andrew and Karen Stevens in Laos. These guys are awesome. They've been long-serving members in Life Church. And a wee while back, they decided to start a bakery and cafe in Laos called Lao Vida. Basically, what this does is that it lets young people come from disadvantaged backgrounds in Laos to learn a trade that they can use in adult life and set them on the right course. Also, the other amazing thing about it is that not only do they learn this trade at the school, they start teaching them about Jesus. A lot of these guys, these students, have started to profess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And from that, they are going into local villages and to mountain areas, mountain villages, and preaching about the freedom of Jesus to people that are under so much fear of spirits. That's the first area. Second area is Phil and Janet Bueller in South Sudan. So Phil is awesome. He works in a compound for MAF, which is Missions Aviation Foundation. Basically, what they do is that they fly things into countries that are too isolated for other ways to for other transport. So, like South Sudan, basically. Janet, she works for SIL, the Bible translators. Right now, she is translating the Bible from English to Sudanese Arabic, so that South Sudanese people can read about Jesus in their own language. On top of that, she is also working with the government to improve literacy in children and going into local villages to preach about Jesus. Side note, she is also really gangster. She came over recently and told us a story. She likes to go walking, and so she went walking around South Sudan. If you don't know much about South Sudan, it's pretty torn up. There's a lot of civil war there. And she went walking around with a camera, and she actually got robbed. The way that she described it, she said she was walking around, she got stopped by some people. They took the camera off her, and she said, "Hey, look, but that's not going to stop me from walking." Phil, her husband, pulls us aside a little while later and said, "Yeah, so that story, so she got held for 2 hours at gunpoint." Talk about a woman who loves the people of South Sudan so much that she can kind of just brush off being held at gunpoint for 2 hours by the very people in the nation that she's trying to help. There's some money going towards a global response fund. Basically what that is that if something bad happens, we are on the front foot. We don't want to be caught with our empty-handed. We want to be able to help people when they need it out in the mission field. Say that the civil war in South Sudan comes down into the area that Phil and Janet are in, we can fly them out. Finally, we're giving to Mung Tung Church. This is in Mung Tung Thani in Bangkok, Thailand. It's led by Pastor Udom and Pijoy. These guys are great. Recently, Udom came over and preached right where I am standing. We're giving so that they can have more technical capabilities and also that we can train them. Basically, we have Life Keys over here. It's awesome. There isn't a Thai version of Life Keys. We are giving so they can be trained and equipped to be better leaders. That's what we're giving towards. So why do it? I got one verse that I want to preach to you. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, Great Commission. It's up on the screen if you want to see it. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Why give? Because God invites us. It's right there in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. The thing I love about that is that he doesn't turn to his legions of angels and say, "Angels, go do the work." He says to us, he invites us to take part in what he has. But here's the thing. I don't think my life calling is towards South Sudan, getting held at gunpoint for 2 hours, or Laos, or Thailand. But right now, there are people on the ground. We have Andrew and Karen. We have Phil and Janet. Udom and Pijoy and Bu and Nook, who has made it their life's work to make disciples in these nations. I don't know what a Sudanese person goes through in their day-to-day, but Janet is on the ground and she does. I don't speak much Thai. Recently, I learned how to say a bad word. That's about all I know. Udom, it's his first language. The way that I help make disciples in all nations is by giving to bolster what they are doing. I take up God's invitation that he's given me in the Great Commission when I give. To close, I just want to say, I know that there are some of you listening that are going, Rory, I don't want to give just because God tells me to. That's okay, because that was me. Here's the thing. God doesn't just invite you to go and make disciples in all nations. If we can get that verse back up. In that second part of the verse, you'll see God say to us, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, the invitation is not only to make disciples, the invitation is to have a relationship with them. When you take up Jesus' invitation to live a life for him and with him, it's so good. You feel forgiven and loved and secure, and you are given a true purpose. So why should I give? Because God tells me to. Why should I listen? Because it's the best decision you ever make. Amen.
Cool. Do you want to stand with me? And we'll pray together as the team comes back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your love for this whole world. We thank you that we know and central to the church is the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, we thank you tonight. We just pray you'd refresh that in our hearts, that God, you love this whole world, every single person on it, or in it. And it's our heart's desire, Lord, that we would live lives that would expand your kingdom, your rule, Lord, your reign on the earth. And that whether it's our next door neighbor, people in our community, in our city, nation, or the nations, that every person would have a chance to hear about God, to hear who Jesus is and how much you love them. God, as we come to this offering season in church, and the vision of reach, I pray it be more than words we hear, but our heart's desire, Lord, would be to have this close relationship with you. That we don't just have nice concepts and good ideas, but we truly understand the heart of God. We truly know your heart for the world that you love. You've never changed your mind throughout every generation. It's never changed. You love people. And you want every person on planet Earth to have hope because of Jesus. I pray as we just lean in and we reach into our relationship with you, that God, we would so sense afresh your heart for this world. That God, we would be people who would recognize that you have placed gifts and talents and abilities and blessing and passions within our hearts. They were never designed to be kept with us or kept with us. We haven't been filled with blessing in order to walk around puffed up. We've been filled with blessing that, Lord, we would be people who would be determined to live on mission and to reach out beyond ourselves. God, you help us out of relationship to live selfless lives and to let go of selfishness. That, God, we would be hungry to have lives that would expand and extend your kingdom and make you famous wherever we go and carry hope and light and salt into the world that desperately needs to know you. So, God, we just again with open arms, open hands, wait on you. Say, God, I pray that this would be our prayer. God, here I am. Use me. I pray tonight, as we've heard the different areas that we're focusing on in our giving this year, it'd be more than information, but we would receive a revelation that we've been given much, and to whom much is given, much is required. That, God, we would learn how to be stewards of every part of our life. Just have that deep desire, Lord, to make a difference. Thank you that it's not in our strength, but it's in yours. as we're filled with the Spirit, God, we would go out into this world and make a difference in lives that need to know you. Thank you for every person who's heard this tonight. God, we would hear from you, each one of us, over this season of church life, we would hear something fresh in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.